The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Good morning. Hello. How are you? It is good to be with you on the Rescue Worker channel. We are this community of Jesus apprentices learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. And I'm glad that you have joined us for this experiencing of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are on our sixth week of this journey, and it has been such a blessing for myself, and I hope it is a blessing for you as well, to walk with Jesus in the account of Jesus according to the Gospel of Luke. As Jesus' apprentice, we have a model that we live for, a model that we try to accomplish and try to live out. And the model is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. Keep that Bible verse in mind and try to live out the lessons here presented. Loving God, loving your neighbor, and loving yourselves. That means to be a Jesus apprentice. Well, on our journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, every week we choose a Bible verse to memorize. And the Bible verse for memorization for this week comes from Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." And this Bible verse is so important for us to understand today's message, because today's message is about the first temptation of Jesus. Yesterday, we studied Jesus going to the desert or the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit. And there, he faced the devil and his temptations. And somehow, the temptations of the devil are related to the Bible verse that we are studying. It's related to Jesus' identity and Jesus' purpose. And we'll reflect about that in a few seconds. But in order for us to overcome the devil, the temptation, we need to be connected with God. We need to have the Holy Spirit in us. We need to be in God's presence. And every time we come to Bible study and we submit ourselves and let the Bible speak, we can experience God's presence. And we have God's invitation to come into His presence. In Hebrews 4:16, we read, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." So God is inviting you right now to come into His presence. And in His presence, we can receive what we need. And maybe what we need today is the strength to overcome a temptation, to let go a sin. So why not to seek God and His presence? Well, let's prepare ourselves for His presence. I want to give you 1 minute for you to have a short prayer, to find a better place to connect with God and hear His voice through the Word. And after this 1 minute, we'll come back, have a short prayer, and we'll reflect on the portion for today. So I'll see you in a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for your care, your protection, and power. We pray that we'll be experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke today. We pray that we will experience the Holy Spirit. We pray that we'll submit to God and His will. Forgive our sins, Lord, and help us to understand your message today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, we have studied that Jesus was baptized. He receives the confirmation and the anointment through the Holy Spirit. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, and I'm so proud of you. I have joy on you." He leaves the baptism and he is led by the Holy Spirit to the desert. And Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. So I think here we have a very important lesson to understand, that being full of the Holy Spirit is a result of submitting completely to the Holy Spirit, surrender to God's guidance, is submitting to Him, allow Him to take control of our life, let them make and provide the direction for us. You see, yesterday I mentioned about that, the two ways we can approach God. We can go to God and say, "God, please bless my day, bless my plans, I need to do this and that." But that was not Jesus' way. Jesus, he would come to the Father and would say, "Father, what's the agenda for today? What's the schedule? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do?" He would submit himself and ask God to guide him wherever he would go. And if we are Jesus' apprentices, we need to learn to let go the control of our life and let God take control. God take the wheel. And that is not easy. And at the end of the day is a question of trust, completely trusting God and not trusting yourself or other voices around us, and completely trusting God. And why am I highlight that? Because somehow that is the soul of any temptation, and for sure is a key and crucial aspect of Jesus' temptation in the desert. Would Jesus follow the direction of God, or would Jesus follow the direction of his own needs, ideas, and other people's or voices' ideas? You see, Eve, she failed because she didn't trust God completely. She didn't trust that God had provided everything she needed for her life. She thought that God was hiding something from her. She didn't trust in God's word. So Adam and Eve, they failed because they didn't trust. They didn't submit. They didn't follow God's direction. And somehow, Jesus faces the same temptation here. And that's what we will study today. This temptation is to win where Adam failed. This temptation is related to the experience of the people of Israel in the desert. The people of Israel in the desert go through the experience of the water going through the Red Sea. And it's very interesting because on the Red Sea, there's a wind, there's a ruah that opens the Red Sea. And the word wind or ruah can mean a Holy Spirit, right? God, the Spirit of God. So we see the water and the Spirit. So they go through this experience of the Red Sea. And after that, the first temptation or the first situation is related to their own physical needs, what you drink and what you eat. And here, what we see is Jesus going through this experience of water and have to face his own needs. Because as we read yesterday in verse 2, Jesus ate nothing all that time, 40 days, and became very hungry. So Jesus has his physical needs. So the temptation, this process of temptation follows a similar pattern of Adam and Eve and the people of Israel in the desert. And Jesus now must overcome where they fail, because both fail, one in the Garden of Eden and another in the desert. Now Jesus is back in the desert. This is very important for us to understand and focus as we study and reflect the temptation of Jesus. And I think another aspect that we need to keep in mind is that when the devil comes to tempt us, when the devil comes to tempt Jesus, it is not coming to tempt us in an area of our life that we are strong. The devil knows our weakest spot. And when he comes to test us, he comes strongly to defeat us. When the devil tempted Joseph in Egypt with the wife of Potiphar, when she offers herself to Joseph, don't think that that was something that Joseph was strong. Somehow, the devil, knowing his weakest spot, he went after that weak spot because he want to win. He's coming to this fight to win. He don't want to lose. And he does the same with you and I today. As he comes to tempt us, he comes to our weakest spot. And at the same way, when he came to Jesus, he came to tempt him in an area that he thought that he could overcome Jesus. And the main areas that he's trying to defeat Jesus is about his identity and his mission and how to accomplish his mission. Based on those elements that were a struggle for Jesus. Do you remember Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if possible, take this cup from me. Find another way for me to accomplish the mission. Jesus struggled like a human as dying. Jesus struggled going through that process. So the devil went there to try to defeat Jesus on his identity, his mission, and how to accomplish his mission. And here we have verses 3 and 4. So if you have your Bible or your tablet, cell phone or computer, turn to Hebrews 4, verse 3. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And verse 3 says, "Then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread.'" Let's try to break apart here. So Jesus in the desert to connect with God. The devil comes. Jesus is in need. He haven't eaten for a few weeks, 40 days. He's hungry, the Bible says. And the devil comes. It's interesting that Luke and the Gospel and the New Testament presents the demons' powers and other, let's say, descriptions and levels of the enemy army. But here he the devil himself, the chief of all the demons and potestats and all the powers of this world, the chief himself, the dragon, the old snake, the serpent that Revelations talks about, him himself comes to tempt Jesus. So if Jesus will fail, we'll need to have our A game. So the devil himself comes. And don't think that he came as this image that we have of the devil, right? This image comes from the Middle Age, the Dark Ages, with Jesus or with the devil with being red and with horns and a trident in his hands. No. That is an image that doesn't come from the Bible. The image that the Bible talks about the devil, that before he was an angel of light, was perfect, was adorned by all the precious stones, an angelic being so beautiful that served beside God's throne. So he comes with his best appearance, with his best look. And that is how the temptation appears to us today, with this perfect smell, the perfect look, the perfect situation that looks even divine. And now the devil says, so he didn't know that it was the devil. That's my belief. If you are the Son of God. Here, he's not saying or questioning his identity, as it may sound. The phrase in the original gives the idea, since you are the Son of God. Jesus just had heard that he was the Son of God. So, therefore, because you are the Son of God, the Father will not be pleased for you to be in such a situation of starvation. Since you are the Son of God and have the power, why won't you transform, change this stone into a loaf of bread? And it's a singular word here, the stone, a loaf of bread. Since you are the Son of God, prove it by transforming this stone in bread and feeding you, resolving your own need. You see, it was very scheme here, right? Yes, you are the Son of God. God doesn't like this situation that you are. So just eat it. Was that a good thing? Yes. It was a good thing. However, that didn't come from God. The Holy Spirit that had led Jesus to the desert didn't inform him that he should transform the bread or transform the stones in loaf of bread for his own needs. You see, the point here is the Father didn't reveal, didn't come from the Holy Spirit, was not God's plan. Even being good, even that was a real need, and technically there's nothing wrong with feeding someone or feeding your own needs. Why not? Why not? And the why not comes because it didn't come from God. That's not God's plan. So even though it can be a good thing, even though it can be a right thing, if it doesn't come from God, if it's not part of God's plan, it is not the right path to take. So the devil presents that. And somehow here has a very, let's say, intrinsic mentality or proposal here. And it is referred to the ministry of Jesus. In a sense, A, you can feed the people, provide people for their needs based on changing in stones that we have a lot here, and give feed to the people, give food to the people, and then the people will recognize that you're Son of God, and then you accomplish your mission. You don't need to go to the wrath path. You don't need to go to that path that is complicated. Let's do different. Let's provide signs for the people. Let's feed them. And then by that, they will recognize that you're the Son of God and everything will be resolved. Well, it could be a good plan, but if it doesn't come from God, it's a bad plan. And that God didn't reveal that. Yes, Jesus fed people. The Bible talks about that. Luke talks about that. But Jesus fed the people when God revealed Jesus to feed the people. And his ministry was not based only feeding the people. That was not the A game for Jesus, as this temptation can imply. Let's transform, let's provide the needs for the needs of people. Another interesting point here is that temptation comes usually from our own needs, comes from inside of us. The devil will try to lure us, to bring into our attention some of our needs or wants. But if God has not revealed to us that it is not right, God will try to help you if you submit and surrender to him. That's the reason the mode of Jesus' apprentices is love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and everything you have and you do, so you can submit to Jesus completely. And that is crucial. So, what Jesus did with all these temptation, and we are unpacking here a few things, and we could spend hours, even days, unpacking more and more based on this first temptation. What Jesus did? Verse 4. But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone." So Jesus go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8. And he uses a verse from the Bible to fight the temptation. He doesn't flee the temptation. He doesn't run from the temptation. But he defeats the temptation based in the Bible. And that's one of the reasons that it's so important to have the Bible in us and memorize, because the Bible can help us to defeat the temptation, the truth. And here he is saying something that talks about in Deuteronomy, where Deuteronomy means the second law, and is the idea that God is providing a way to live. God is providing the direction. So he's saying no, because man should not live just based on their needs, their wants, but man must live based on the will of God. God has not revealed that to me. That's not the will of God. And my own needs, the basic needs, cannot overcome or overtake the place of God's direction and God's plan for our lives. He's saying no to a good thing because he wants to be faithful to God's direction. And God's plan must take place and must be the first in our lives, even first than our own needs. And that's crucial. And that's a lesson. And Jesus say, God is first in my life and His will. And I'll live by His direction and guidance. And I didn't receive here. I want to live by God's will. I will not eat it. Interesting that the devil approached him as the Son of God. But Jesus answered him as a man. As a man, I have my needs. But more important than my needs is God's will. And I'm not doing that because I didn't receive from the Father. Wow. Are you being faithful to God's direction to your life? Do you recognize God's voice in your life? Do you seek God's direction for your life? That was Jesus' main goal, to trust completely in God and His direction. And before we finish here, I have just one more aspect that I want to highlight. As I was reflecting and praying over verse 3 and 4 and try to understand the lessons that God has for my life, I came to this concept or this understanding. The first temptation of Jesus was for Jesus to do something. Interesting that Jesus was supposed to do bread, a loaf of bread. But Jesus, according to Himself, He was the bread. So what we see here is a temptation that we can face between being and doing. And sometimes we are so focused in doing that we forget of being. And the devil try to make us do Christian stuff so we cannot focus on being Christian. That's crucial, because you can do, but you cannot be a truly disciple of Jesus, not surrender to Jesus. Your actions may propose, give an idea that is different from who you are. But the true ministry comes of being. The being gives birth of the doing. So more important than do is to be. Be with Christ, not do Christ's work. Be with the Holy Spirit, not try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Be with the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you because you're merciful. Help us to overcome the temptations in our life. And especially the temptation of to try to seek our own plans and not seek your plans. Help us to submit, to surrender, and to stay with you all the time. Help us not to be deceived or give ear to the wants. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go for our questions of reflection. And the questions are, what is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, I hope to see you tomorrow as we continue and go through the second temptation of Jesus. But I pray that today and every day you will seek God's guidance for your life. And God would be the one that will follow. That you'll follow His direction, His will, and His desire. And not only ask God to bless your desires, your will, your plans. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.